The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 7th of October, 2020. On the podcast today, Vadim Alexander, head of healthcare at SP Angel, discusses Polarian Imaging's new drug application and request for priority review to the US FDA. Also on the podcast, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about wind farms and the positive impact it'll have for resource companies, and also talks about Ami Minerals, Chariot Gold, Sol Gold, Vast Resources and Bushveld Minerals. Also, as always, at the end of the podcast, I have two lists for you. The top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most liked RNSs. By the way, you can see both these lists, in fact, top 10 visions of these lists, at voxmarkets.co.uk, where you'll see loads of other content. Check it out, voxmarkets.co.uk, and also our COVID-19 index. Let's have a look. Biggest rise of the day is N4 Pharma, up 27% to 6.9 pence. Biggest faller, 4D Pharma, down 23% to 1.34. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Vadim Alexander, head of healthcare at SP Angel. You all right, Vadim?
Yeah, how are you doing, Justin?
Yeah, good. Well, listen, you know, you and me, big fans of Polarian, and where Richard's been on the podcast many a time, and we've followed their progress. This milestone was sort of obviously signposted way of, you know, months back, NDA submission to the FDA for their tech. But there's something new in there, which we didn't see, and that's a request for priority review. So explain what's going on here, if you could, Vadim.
Yeah, so the request for priority review, basically priority review accelerates the FDA turnaround timeline. So instead of it being a 10-month review process, it becomes a it basically shortens the timeline by 4 months down to 6 months. So because of the way they filed, they're also filing for an extended exclusivity period. Yeah. Their review originally was scheduled to be a 12-month process. Yeah. So now if they get priority review, then they're filing for it. So that's new and it's good. It would shorten the entire timeline by 4 months. So we'd expect it, I guess, in about 8 months, 8 months time.
Yeah, that's
so that's good. And that's important. Yeah. Because, it's not... it's all about launching the product now, you know, so we'd rather wait a lot less from the FDA, right? So obviously time in this particular instance, actually time is money, because they would be, they plan a clinic, you know, the launch of their clinical units the goal is to aggressively sell these machines, you know, as soon as they have the approval from the FDA. So, it would be, yes, it's a very good piece of news that they filed for it. you know, we'll wait and see whether they get it. We're going to hear back from the FDA within 60 days.
Wow. Okay. So that's big. So that's a short period of time. So within 60 days, they'll hear back whether they've accepted their priority review.
Correct. Exactly.
So when's that? What are we now? October, November, December. December. What are we? 7th or something.
By early December, we should have an idea on the priority review. And then we just count the dates, right? So then it would be
August.
So that would be 2 months.
Yeah,
that would be exactly 2 months from now. We'd know on the priority review, and then 6 to 8 months because of the Hatch-Waxman. So there's something else that they've applied for, or at least that was what they indicated in the past, which was to get an exclusivity period. You also on the technology, which is well worth getting. It requires another 2 months of review period. So, but look, long story short, somewhere between 8 to 6 months. 6 to 8 months. After the submission, right? So you'll know if you'll get the priority review in 2 months' time, but that doesn't mean you start counting in 2 months' time. You start counting from today, right?
Yeah.
Right. So call it 6 months from now. Whatever that is. You're right. You've got it. August, roughly.
Yeah, but right. Do you know what's important here? It's the first of all, they've gone for this. Because I know originally they've said they may not go for it, but something's obviously changed here. And like I said, I think the originally was you only apply for expedited review if you have a unique tech. And I suppose theirs is, even though they've had it compared in their phase 3 trials, it was compared to an older sort of radiation ionizing tech, which is old and 40 years old. Theirs is pretty much, it does a lot more. So it is, and especially now with COVID, like I said, we know people are now using their tech, Polaris tech, to look at mid to long term effects of COVID on the lungs. We know it affects the lungs. So we are in a special situation. And if the FDA do approve this, to me that's hugely positive, because that says, like I said, this unmet need now is getting bigger, isn't it? Because there's more problems with lungs out there, and so that makes the market bigger. So I think a positive announcement on this from the FDA would be huge for them, you know?
Absolutely. It would be huge. Sorry, Justin, I just want to correct. I said it wasn't August, it's May. If you calculate 8 months from today, we're looking at May.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yes, you're right.
Yeah, so that makes a substantial difference. That was the point, exactly. So, and, you know, that changes the dynamics, because now you can see, you can almost taste the launch, if you like. It's really nearby.
Yeah.
So, that's, you know, if they get it. So we'll wait and see in the next 60 days if they get it. I mean, either way, it's okay. It doesn't in any way have, it's not a judgment on the technology, whether they get it or not. Because it's just, you know, it's 4 months later, they'll get their answer from the FDA one way or another. But priority review acceptance would be interesting, because then we would get, you know, not that the company isn't in full launch mode, they're obviously making preparations, but it would accelerate all those preparations.
Yeah, but and also just the fact that already their tech is being used by 23. Clinics already, isn't it? And also, it's also, I can't remember the numbers here, but something like 42 applications are being made via some of these clinics for trials. And so it's, you know, there's obviously, there's a lot of people already believing in it. And like you say, the people on board, even Bracker and the chairman, Jonathan Alice, you know,
absolutely,
they've got backgrounds that have done very well in this med tech area. And you've got Bracker now on the board as well, of course, and took part in the fundraising. So it's just all adding up to a very positive story here, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so they're not clinics, they're like they're research centers, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, you're right, they do run clinics along, they're hospitals, big hospitals, and very respected hospitals that currently are using these machines for research purposes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the goal now is to get it for clinical use, but you're absolutely correct. Basically those big research centers have put, you know, the work in, are doing, you know, publishing all these papers on the area. By the way, the publication record around around xenon-129 is growing very quickly and accelerating. So all of that lays the groundwork for adoption of the technology. That's exactly, you know, what you want to see. That's how things get adopted in healthcare. You have to see the science there. And then just a little interesting thing on top of it, which was in the results, is, you know, there's work being done now by very respected centers on using this technology in COVID. And that really is, you know, that's happening now, which is great. So one of these centers, you know, one of these 23 centers is working on this. And then the important bit there that, well, one thing that's very interesting about that is that the technology is particularly pertinent for long COVID. You know what I mean? Yeah. You've heard of long COVID, which is mostly associated with damage to the lung. Yeah. Okay. And long-term damage is usually a fibrotic condition. So the lung gets some basically the lung gets damaged by fibrosis. And assessing that, the technology is particularly good at that. It was already being, there's a lot of work already being done on another type of lung fibrosis called idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. So it just lends itself perfectly well to studying fibrosis in the lung. So yeah, that's another interesting development. I mean, we always thought so, but now we have people working on it specifically. So we'll hope to see publications coming out of that work.
Marvellous stuff. Well, the clock is now ticking. It's very exciting. Like I said, 2 months we'll know within 2 months, isn't it? So it's up to 60 days. So we'll know what's happening. I assume the FDA are quite busy at the moment. It's like there's lots going on, isn't there? You
know? But, there was one other thing, Justin, also that was worth flagging. We mentioned it in our morning note on earlier in the week when they put the results out. They also got a waiver of $2.9 million, I think, from in terms of paying. I mean, that's a substantial amount of money that they saved.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's great. They got a small business waiver, and that's perfect. So the company's just, they're getting, things are going well. So let's hope it continues.
Yeah, more stuff. Vadim, thanks for that, fella, and we'll speak to you next week.
Perfect. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You all right, John?
Yes, very good. Thank you.
When I was looking yesterday when Boris Johnson was saying every house by 2030, you know, electricity will be powered by wind. I was thinking, wow, that's going to have an impact, a positive impact on many sort of companies, I suppose, in the resource sector, because, of course, there's commodities involved there. There's like copper. What else is involved in there?
Copper, rare earths, neodymium, praseodymium. Some wind farm companies are using different mixes, but we would expect the new UK offshore wind farm planned at Dogger Bank. Mm-hmm. The offshore shipping forecast is never going to sound quite the same again. That's likely to use about 10% of global neodymium production. Shall we say 10% of a single year's neodymium production, which is a lot, let's face it. I mean, these offshore wind farms use very large permanent magnet motors, and just that one installation, that's 3.6 gigawatts of power. And no doubt Boris Johnson has got more of this planned. And it's great stimulus. It keeps the steelworks going. It keeps the... I mean, they make the legs for these windmills in the shipyards, in effect. It's very, very good. It's a fantastic form of stimulus, shall we say. Mm. It keeps everybody busy, and it will provide carbon-free. Well, that's debatable whether how you work out whether it's carbon-free, but it will provide low carbon free energy from the wind, and that's, I think that's brilliant for the UK. I think that's certainly great for commodity demand. There'll be a lot of copper to cable these wind, the power from the wind farms into the UK grid. It's good all round. I'm all for it.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I didn't realise how big a player in the wind farm industry we were. And if you go on, if you just look in on Google and look at biggest wind farms, they have the largest operational offshore wind farms, a list there. And literally, I was quite surprised. And let me scroll down. I can see it's the world. So out of the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, we've got 8 of the biggest wind farms in the world. The first biggest is in Hornsey. It's 1.2 megawatts capacity. But literally, Netherlands comes in at 5th with 600. That's less than half the size of our biggest. Then Germany comes below that 582 at 7. So we're massive in the wind farm industry, aren't we? We're the world leaders.
Germany is the second biggest, with more than 10 gigawatts of installed capacity. We know there's a lot being planned in the US. They're targeting another 27 gigawatts in the northeast of the US, according to S&P.
Yeah, according to this list, they're nowhere near.
China is catching up really fast.
No, but China's, I mean, Germany, like I said, is seventh as far as big as, but I mean, we are one, two, three, four, top four biggest wind farms in the world. Yeah, Germany and Netherlands and next. Well, Germany, actually, but Netherlands have got one. Then you go down, and literally China features like number 20.
China is going to overtake everybody.
They've got
more than 8 gigawatts under construction right now. Or something like that. So it's, you know, there's a lot coming, and if you just look at the Dogger installation, that's going to use something like 600 tons of neodymium, which is a huge amount. So
in fact, you know what? I've just scrolled down, John. Right, I've just scrolled down, and it says here, largest under construction, Hornsea Project 2 is number one. It's in the UK, 1.3 gig. And they got Moray East is second. They got Taiwan, United Kingdom, Netherlands, Denmark, China, and Taiwan. So we're still up there. It's quite impressive there.
So we will be publishing more on the statistics of wind farms and permanent magnet demand and stuff like that tomorrow. We were going to put it into our note today, but there was such a lot of other news around. I just put in a bit, just the first short paragraph of that. So it's a big thing. I mean, the Americans might have cancelled the stimulus discussions with the Democrats for now, but there's so much stimulus already in the pipeline and coming through that the copper prices actually went up today, and so did nickel and other metals, and they didn't go down. So we are seeing prices rise for rare earth metals and a whole bunch of other industrial minerals now. And I think this is, and of course, these wind farms are going to need big battery installations to support them, because when the wind blows too strong, they have to feather the blades and then the power stops. Or if the wind is, obviously, if everything is becalmed, which doesn't happen very often on the Dogger Bank in the North Sea, but if things are becalmed, clearly there's not enough power there either. So they need to combine all this renewable energy with new battery installations to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marvellous stuff. Well, it's quite exciting, that. Cool. And so let's talk about individual companies. Any news out there, John, worth talking about?
Yeah, I've got quite a lot of news today, as it happens. Ammo Minerals, they got their first quarterly coupon from Nathan River Resources. They've invested in the Nathan River project in Australia. It's a high-grade iron ore project, 60% iron content. They've got nearly 200,000 tons of material stockpiled and ready to ship this month into China. So that's a good quality project. It's a project that's effectively up and running. It's transformational for Amur, who raised £6 million recently to fund the Nathan River project. And it means that Amur can carry on with the nickel project that they have in Russia. And of course, nickel is very much flavor of the month with Elon Musk at Tesla saying that he wants to buy environmentally friendly nickel from someone. And we see the statistics on even Tesla's demand for nickel are extraordinary. Mm. There's a lot going on in this area at the moment. Tesla are in talks with BHP and Vale. They need a lot of the world's nickel going forwards, and we're not quite sure where it's all going to come from.
Yeah, exactly. There's going to be a squeeze there somewhere. Anything else? AMO is there. AMC is ticker. What's next?
Yeah. Song? Well, I mean, look, the gold price is still still very high. It's come back a bit, particularly, you know, if there's more stimulus, the gold price would probably almost certainly jump again.
You know, Trump said that. He said, "I'm not going to speak to stimulus and to Democrats after the elections." Is that, I don't never believe him anyway, do you? I mean, you know, it's just everything he does is a ploy, is a trick, a game trick, isn't it? Is playing the game. So I never really believe him. You know, do you really?
I'm afraid I think you're right, but I believe Trump more than I believe anything the Chinese say.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, the Chinese say,
So, look, I think with any politician, we have to be very careful about what they say, and we really have to look at what they do.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it, how literally we can't trust anyone, you know, for the word, like the Chinese. We know full well, you know, they've got these re-education camps, and I think it's dreadful. It's awful, just even pretending that they are re-education camps. They're not. They're awful, they're almost death camps and all that sort of torture places, and yet they pretend they're not, and we just carry on in plain sight, pretty much. It's nuts. I know. Who do you believe? That's the trouble. And I suppose how you whittle it down is, who do you believe the least? That's all you can, you know, do. There's a scale, isn't it? That's all you can do, you know?
Absolutely. But anyway, as I say, the gold price ticked off a bit, even despite all the worries that we have in the world. Chariot Gold, who are quite a highly leveraged gold producer, their costs are, shall we say, around $1,000 an ounce. That means they're making about $850 an ounce margin at the moment, not far off. They refinanced $19.4 million of a loan that they have. Means that they've got loads of time and more than and enough cash to do what they want to do. In fact, because of the high gold price, they'll be paying down the debt really quite quickly now. And that's always good to see. And we expect them to see a pretty meaningful jump in production starting in 2023, when we expect them to go to about 160,000 ounces. This year they'll do about 54,000 ounces, and hopefully it would be nice if they can make a profit off that. I think, you know, they've had such a lot going on that they'll probably still make a loss. Next year should turn a small profit, and then it should develop from there. So I actually see that as quite an interesting business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marvelous gold. You know what they say about gold. Yeah, do you know what? Look in the chart of gold though. It'd be interesting to see where it settles, because it's a little bit rolling over a little bit. You know, it's coming back, and it's failed to hold almost the support there of what was it, 1960, I think it was, and it's dipped a little bit more, and the momentum's come off a little bit. But it'd be interesting to see where it flattens out there. But no doubt it'll rise again. It's funny, isn't it? It's a sentiment of stocks and shares. When a stock goes down, everyone's raving about gold when it was high, and everyone's saying, right, I'm going to buy on the dip. The dip happens, and then people think, oh, I don't know if it's going to go lower now. And people don't buy. But eventually, they will start buying again. That's it. Buy low, sell high. That's the way. But it's hard to do. Sentiment, it's all about that. Anything else, Sean? Anything else happening?
Well, Vast Resources restarting their operations in Romania at Baita Ply. So that's good news. Great to see that things restarting there, and they forecast they'll process 14,000 tons of ore and start delivering payable material in the fourth quarter. So it's great when a company like that, which has been struggling, is getting back on its feet again. Mm. So good news there.
Yeah, there are a lot of shareholders. I get contacted by a lot of them, and saying, oh, here we go, we're nearly there, and then all of a sudden something happens and delays the project, and again. But there's a lot of loyal followers who are still holding the shares, so they obviously see a lot of potential there, and there's something, you know, that they really like. So yeah, there we are. And you think, you know, because, and that's unusual for AIM small caps, people you know, by the whole, there's a lot of traders, and a lot of people don't have that much loyalty, but there's also something that's impressing them about Vast. I've not really looked into it, but I suppose their imminent cash flow is one of the factors, isn't it, I suppose? You know?
Absolutely. So Vast is a recovery story, and we're trying to help them manage that recovery.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous. Cool. Anything else, John?
Well, SolGold, they're talking a lot about their exploration in Ecuador, and having discovered the Alpala project, which they're looking to develop into a very large scale underground block caving project, which you know is multi-billion-dollar project. It'll probably end up at $4 or $5 billion of capex, and so that's something that will have to be managed by BHP or Newcrest or probably a consortium of major companies. But they are, in the meantime, they're drilling. at other projects in Ecuador, and there's a lot going on there. So I think that SolGold's going to make more value out of its other exploration in many respects, and I think there's a very good chance that they might find something better than the Alpala project in territory that has been very largely unexplored. So that's a great opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvelous stuff. Cool, John. Thanks for that. That's it for the invite. You haven't mentioned one of your favourites, Bushveld. Anything happening there?
Bushveld is rolling along. We're waiting for the vanadium price to pick up. I'm sure it will. It's pushing forwards. I think it's a very interesting business right now.
BMM, marvelous stuff. Cheers for that. In fact, Bushveld, it's really sharp because I noticed recently they were on the Vox Markets, one of the most followed companies on the list, top 10 on the front page. They appeared on that. I don't know what happened there, but they appeared on there. Maybe it's just a rise in price because some people just follow when the share price goes up. But yeah, cool. Yeah, they hit that in March. They went down to that level and they 89 pence. And now they sort of bounce back up and they have to retest that, I think, before they move up a bit further. But yeah, they're rolling over a little bit. But I shouldn't think they get back down to that level, surely. Surely not, John.
Yep, yeah.
None. Anyway, John, thanks for that. We'll speak next week.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Salt Lake Potash. Non-mover up 28.5 pence. Some amazing pictures. Check out their investor presentation, a virtual tour of Lake Way. Very artistic, some of the pictures there. But a massive, the scale of that project is amazing. And of course, that's one lake of nine. At four, Royal Dutch Shell, down 1.16% 971. At three, 4D Pharma, down 23% at 134. At two, Amiga Diagnostics, up 6.1% to a 112.5. Big RNS yesterday, and there's 1,000 views within under 10 minutes on Vox, which is amazing. It's gone past, I think, 3,000 views now. Easy. If I haven't checked, it was that earlier on. And at one, Deepverge, down 12%, 27.5 pence. Of course, that was the old integument. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, it is Argo Blockchain, September operational update, LOI signing. At four, Nuformix, placing and strategic update. At three, Byte Supply recommences production. Of course, touched on that with John on the podcast. At two, Plarium Imaging, NDA submission. Of course, we talked about that with Vadim. And Omega Diagnostics, UK government contract for UKRTC. There, right there, most liked and most read RNS. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only 6/19 through 6/25. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change. Lowe's knows you don't want to sacrifice reliability for savings. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select LG appliances and purchase two or three select major appliances to get an additional 10% off. Save big on LG, America's most reliable line of home appliances at Lowe's. Based on independent reliability surveys 2021 to 2024 and select major appliances as compared to competing manufacturers offering full appliance lines. See associate for more details. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Exclusions apply. Valid 6/18 through 7/9.